The title of our message this morning is in the form of an invitation. I must confess, it's one of my favorite invitations I ever get. The title of our sermon is, It's Time to Eat. Based on our reading from John chapter 6, listen to these verses. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I give for the life of the world is my flesh. Again, our title is, It's Time to Eat. And I invite you to follow the sermon outline that's printed before you this morning in your bulletin. Well, what is one of your favorite sentences in the English language? What are some words that you just love to hear? One of my favorite sentences from my youth was, It's time to eat. These words were spoken by my grandma, my big grandma, as she stood at the screen door on the porch off the kitchen of our dairy farm, inviting all of us who were working in the fields to come in for a meal. Now, no matter where I was on the farm, whether I was milking cows, feeding chickens, or shoveling, you can guess what I was shoveling, when it was time for a meal, and back then we called our meals breakfast, dinner, and supper, that sentence Grandma spoke was music to my ears. Grandma would stand at that open screen door in the porch off the kitchen and beller out those words so loudly, the men that worked in the fields, no matter how far out they were, could hear those sweet words very clearly as she said, It's time to eat. Today's gospel lesson is about the importance of eating in a spiritual sense. In the text today, Jesus calls himself both the bread of life and also the bread that has come down from heaven. Here he speaks in Old Testament reference. It refers to the image of manna, that bread from heaven that God sent to feed the hungry people of Israel as they were on their way to the promised land. This event is recorded in Exodus chapter 16. The people were wandering in the desert. They were hungry. God provided a special bread. Listen to the text. In the morning when they arose, there was a layer of dew around the camp. And when the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. And when the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, What is it? Because they didn't know what it was. This is actually a joke in Hebrew. You don't understand it. But the Hebrew word for what is it is manna. They came out and saw this bread and they said, Manna, what is it? And that's what they call this bread from heaven, manna. In today's gospel reading from John 6, Jesus says these words. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am the bread that came down from heaven. And he invites us in this text. He says, Eat me, that is, trust me, and you will live forever. Listen to his exact words. Jesus said, Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. But I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. Truly I say to you, whoever eats of me, whoever believes in me, has eternal life. This bread of Jesus is given to us to meet our deepest needs. Now please note, nowhere in the pages of Holy Scripture does Jesus ever promise to meet our laundry lists of wants and desires, but he does promise to meet our deepest needs. Now any of us who are parents or grandparents know that there's a big difference between a child's wants and a child's needs. A child wants unlimited candy and junk food. A child wants nonstop television. A child wants to set their own play schedule. A child, and some of us older children, want no household chores. But a child needs love. A child needs discipline, forgiveness, encouragement, guidance, security, and hope. And how about us adults? Some of us adults want a brand new car, a promotion, a larger bank account. But all of us adults need exactly the same thing children need. We need love, discipline, forgiveness, encouragement, guidance, security, hope, and to meet our deepest needs for this life and the next, Jesus, the bread of life, was broken on the cross. Jesus said these words, "The bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world." Now, I've seen this dramatically portrayed in a worship service, where the leader of the service held a small loaf of bread, uncut, up against an altar cross. And on that altar cross, we saw that this loaf represented Jesus. And then the loaf was torn, and the loaf was broken. Can you get the picture in your mind of the loaf broken upon that cross? Because on the cross of Calvary, Jesus, the living bread, was broken. His flesh and body were torn as he faced the powers of sin, as he faced the powers of death, as he faced the powers of the devil for you. And there on that cross, he died for you. And there on that cross, he won for you forgiveness of all your sins and the gift of heaven, the victory over death and the devil himself. And when Jesus, the bread of life, who was broken, rose from the grave, he opened the doors of heaven and promised to give all who trust in him, that is to all who take into their lives the very bread of life, strength for daily living, no matter what this life throws your way. All of these blessings Jesus, the bread of life, has provided. But wait. Like a good meal filled with wonderful nutrients, there's no benefit unless you eat the meal. Jesus says we must eat the bread of life. Listen to his words. "I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you'll have no life in you. The one who feeds on me will live because of me." Eating is necessary for physical and spiritual life. If you don't eat your meat and bread and vegetables, you'll get sick and you die. But so it is with your spiritual life. We need to feed on Jesus and take him into our daily life. Now, in the past, God provided manna to feed his hungry people. Today, he provides us Jesus, the bread of life. The meal is served. Come and eat. It's prepared for you. This meal is served every time God's word is proclaimed in the sermon. This meal is served every time Jesus' precious body and blood are on that altar in the Holy Communion. This meal is served every time God's people gather around his word for a study of the scripture in Bible class. This meal is served every time the water is poured in holy baptism in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This meal is served every time God's people gather together in worship to share his word, to sing his word. Come and eat. My friends, you need to eat whenever the meal is served. Can you hear the words of my big grandma on the screen porch? Come and eat. The meal is served for you. Later this month, every one of your households will receive a special mailing a beautiful brochure that Ewald has just produced. It's a very attractive brochure that will outline all the opportunities for worship and study of God's Word that begin again in September. Hold on to it. On the bottom it says in red, "Put me on your refrigerator door." Put that brochure on your refrigerator door. So every time you reach for the bread of this world and the food of this life, you'll be reminded when God's heavenly banquet will be prepared and served for you here, starting in September. Now, it's true that eating is a response to a felt need. The need is hunger. The response is eating. But if you think of yourself as all sufficient, if you say, "I don't need anything from anybody, I've got everything I need." If you consider yourself all sufficient with no needs, no sins, no spiritual hunger, no sorrow or grief, then you have no need for Jesus, the bread of life. But my friends, if you know sin and its consequences, if you know the emptiness of this world and its promises, if you know the shortness of this life, if you know your need for a closer walk with God, then eat the bread of life that God has provided for you. Eating is a personal thing. No one else can eat for you. Now you might say, "Well, duh, that's simple common sense. No one can sit down at a dinner table and eat for me." But the truth is, so often, common sense is lacking in spiritual matters. Because weekly, I hear these things said by people, even in our own congregation. Listen to me as I say to you the words I've overheard. "Well, my parents believe. That's good enough for me. Well, my wife attends church. That'll do it for our family. Well, I drop off my children for Sunday school, and I go get a coffee. Well, my friend can go to Bible class. He can tell me what he's learned." No, Jesus says in our text, it is you, it is me that needs to sit down and eat. Jesus says, "I tell you the truth. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. He who eats the bread that I give him will live forever." Now, though it might sound like it, this eating the flesh of Jesus and drinking his blood in John chapter 6 is not a reference to Holy Communion. Let me tell you four reasons why it's not. Number one, at the time these words were spoken by Jesus, he had not yet instituted Holy Communion. Two, Jesus here is addressing unbelievers, and communion is for believers only. Here in the text, eating and drinking are for salvation, and communion is for those who are already saved. And fourthly, Holy Communion does not produce salvation. It is an assurance, a reminder, a guarantee of the salvation that was won for us at the cross. But in the text, Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." Eating the bread of life in John's gospel means trusting Jesus. Eating bread equals trusting Jesus. This is what Jesus had been talking about all along in this chapter. Listen to a few verses. Verse 29, last Sunday's sermon text. Jesus said, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom God has sent." Verse 35, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never hunger. He who believes in me will never thirst." Verse 40, "For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believe in him shall have eternal life." And verse 47, Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, whoever believes has life eternal. I am the bread of life." To eat the bread in John 6 means to put our trust in Jesus. Eating the bread of life is a personal trust in Jesus. It's a personal trust that says what He has done at that cross. Yes, for God so loved the world. But what God has done at that cross means He has done that for me. He has done that for me, you claim in faith. All that you really need, God has provided for you in the bread of life, Jesus. Now I'm going to quit preaching and start meddling. So very often as a pastor, I deal with people in times of crisis or in times when they're approaching death. It's at these times in their life, everything that used to be important in life is stripped away and evaporates. Fleeting and passing earthly needs and wants suddenly have no importance. Only what is truly important and eternal is on their minds and on their hearts. Dear God, oh, that every one of us here would daily realize what is really important. Oh, that every one of us here would daily live with the strength and hope that comes from holding on to what's really important. Oh, that every one of us would daily trust that all we really need, God has freely provided for us in Jesus, the bread of life. All that we really need for the journey of this life and the life of the world to come. We end our sermon with an illustration, and I warned Everett already, it's a story about a Scotsman. Several years ago, I heard about a Scotsman who was coming to America in the early 1900s. He had saved his money for quite a while and bought a passage and an ocean liner to make the trip. He didn't have a lot of extra money left over after the ticket was purchased, so he decided to save on food by stocking up on crackers, cheese, and bread for the long trip. Well, the ship sailed, and he began to eat his meager meals, and for the first few days, everything was fine. But as the trip grew closer to New York, the crackers grew stale, the cheese moldy, and the fruit spoiled. Finally, there was nothing left to eat. And he decided on the last day of his journey, he would come up to the dining room and have one last good meal before he hit the shore. When he got to the dining room, he couldn't believe all the wonderful and sumptuous foods laid out before him. But even more amazing than the food in the dining room were the words the chief steward spoke to him as he stood salivating looking at all the food. These were the words of the chief steward. "Please, sir, be seated and take anything that you want to eat. There is no cost to you. All of your meals for this entire journey were included in the price of your ticket." Humorous as that story might be, sad to say, this is the way so many men and women and boys and girls today act toward Jesus, the bread of life. They are choosing to feed on the dry crackers of human philosophy and the spoiled fruit of worldly wisdom rather than trusting in Jesus and enjoying God's sumptuous banquet that has already been fully paid for at the cross. The bread of heaven is yours. It's included in the price of the ticket. That ticket shed, written in the blood of Jesus, your Savior. Now maybe you're tired. Maybe you're tired of the bad food that this world has to offer. Maybe you're tired of eating the bad food of this world and eating and never being filled. Maybe you're tired of munching on dry crackers, moldy cheese, and spoiled fruit, and wondering, won't my spiritual needs ever be fulfilled as I eat the food this world has to offer? My friends, set aside your stale crackers. Throw away the spoiled fruit of this world's worldly wisdom, because the offer of Jesus is still good today. He said, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, which is my flesh that I give for the life of the world, he will live forever." Please listen one more time to the words of my grandmother at the back screen door, because the words of my grandmother are the same words of invitation of Jesus for you today, as he says to you, "It's time to eat. Come, the banquet has been prepared. It's God's free gift to you in the name of Jesus, the bread of life. Amen."